This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And today we've got Deborah Cribbs coming back because she was on an earlier show and we were talking about GiveThem10.org, which is dedicated to spay and neuter and making a huge difference for cats to the point where they've accomplished an amazing success rate from 37% of cats in shelters in Cincinnati being able to be live released and not killed to 96%. So she's done a whole lot of good over there and it's expanding. And if you want to know how you can bring GiveThem10.org, their campaign, their publicity, if you want to know how you can use it for your community, check out GiveThem10.org. So we've got her back on the show because I just mentioned something about turkey on that other show, and it turns out she knows all about it, or at least something similar. So welcome back to the show, Deborah.
Thank you for having me. Always happy to be at an animal party.
Yeah, okay, come to the party. Well, should we take our party to Turkey or Tunisia? Is it as good for the cats as it looks, or is it a little bit scary over there?
You know, my answer is it's different. I've spent a good bit of time in that part of the world, and it's a little bit comical that somebody that spent the last decade trying to make sure there aren't a lot of stray cats in my path, that I end up in a place where people don't think the same way about animals, period. And I sense by the fact that there's a lot of cat food and dog food being sold in the grocery stores now, more than there was a decade ago. That's the change. But, you know, the short answer is they just don't think of cats the same way as we do. But there's a much more complicated answer. And, you know, if we were to find some kind of middle ground, so say Western Europe, I know empirically, let's say, that in general, Europeans do not feel the same way about cats as we do either. They want them to be outside. They want them to come in if they feel like it, but they want them to be able to be outside and live the way they want to. So that's kind of a quasi wild, you know, they feed them.
Yeah. In the Middle East, they stay outside. In our homes, they're locked inside. And in Western Europe, they've got the best of both worlds. Interesting.
I agree with that. I think, what do you think? I think the actual happiest cat gets to go where he or she wants to go, in, out, right?
Oh, I agree. The problem is they're just not as safe. If you lock them in, you get 14 to 20 years. If you don't, you might get 8 to 10. And
absolutely.
But what's that? Where, you know, my cats do go in and out. And I'm lucky because I have big fences and dog kennels. So there's a limited amount of predators who would dare come here. You know, it's not like I've got raccoons scaling over fences and coyotes jumping in or anything like that because of the dog kennel and the scent. But a lot of cats go missing to predators and cars. You know,
we have coyotes in the Cincinnati area,
mm-hmm.
and I fear them for the outside cats, especially kittens during kitten season.
Oh, for sure. That's their
snacks, right? So I say, I think cats are happiest. I think cats are better with me if they're inside, which our cats are inside cats, because like you said, I'll keep them longer. They're healthier and they'll live longer.
But then you have to supply activity. You've got to be their entertainment, right? You can't just like leave them to do nothing.
A bored cat is a dangerous cat, right?
Yeah. I used to say a tired dog is a happy dog. And yeah. I think you're right. A bored cat is a dangerous cat. And, you know, Dusty Rainbolt was one of my favorite cat experts that I've had on the show. And she used to say, don't try to be their playmate. You have to be their preymate, which I think is really key. Like act like, you know, make that toy like something they would have to find and hunt and catch. And now you've got an interested cat. You don't throw it like a fetch toy. Although some cats will play that way. Most won't.
Yeah, mine certainly won't. But they do like the prey, yes.
So this footage I saw of Turkey, I saw quite a few different scenes that were sent to me of these, what they call cat parks. And it's basically like a little parkette in an urban area that's pretty old style neighborhood where people just leave dishes of cat food out. And there's so many cats. They're everywhere. Have you seen this in Tunisia as well?
Yeah, I mean, kind of this same idea. We spend a good bit of our time in an apartment believe it or not, right by a fish market. So,
oh my God.
I know. Of all things,
isn't there a blue song like that? A one-eyed cat in a fish store or something?
Yeah. They dump cats there. You know, they think they're doing the right thing. Oh, this cat that I kind of take care of on my back porch had kittens. I don't want to take care of kittens, so I'm going to go dump kittens, and often way too early, down at the fish market. So we're just overrun by cats and kittens. And there are some kindly people that put out food. So the same idea. And you know as well as I do that actually they are helping the cats because they're feeding them, but they're training them to need us instead of being wild animals the way that maybe they should be there. And as you well know better than I do, a healthy female cat is probably going to have more kittens. So
yeah. Oh, for
the
sure.
The lady who's feeding the cats is not necessarily doing the right thing.
That's so complicated. It's so complicated. Okay, we're going to go to break and come back and talk about how amazing cats are, because we just have to after that. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio with Deborah Wolf and Deborah Cribbs.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Did you ever wonder why, Deborah, why cats get this reputation of being finicky eaters?
Well, I've witnessed it so many times, so I don't wonder why they got the reputation, but what are your thoughts on it?
Well, okay, so cats don't have as many taste buds as we do. We have 9,000, they only have 470, which isn't very many, right? And then they have this extra organ called a Jacobson's organ, and that's in their nose. So in a human understanding way, if we try to understand this as humans with our senses, they kind of taste through their nose. They kind of taste through smell. They can't taste sweet at all. They just have no ability to even know it's sweet. So that's, you know, if you're putting sugar on your cat food, that's crazy because they can't taste it anyway. And why would you? But, or in the dog food or the cat foods, if they put that in there, there's no point. That's us. Anyway, they don't like that stuff. And artificial sweeteners are really dangerous for animals. So don't think you're doing your cat or dog a favor giving it something sweet. They don't like it. Your cat would rather munch on peppermint leaves than eat a candy cane. So to give an example. So yes, but that's why. If something smells at all off, they're not going to go for it because their sense of smell is so heightened and they don't taste that much. So it has to be a taste they really like or it's not going to appeal to them. So I think it's interesting. They get this kind of rep for being picky and snotty and snooty, but they actually just can't taste it and they can't stand the smell of certain things. They can't stand the smell of citrus, which, you know, I like, you like, right?
Absolutely. But is it at a DNA level that they are honed to protect themselves in some way? Would the citrus at all harm them?
I don't know. I know that people use it, peels and things like that in soil to deter them from plants. And you can make a really good cat garden. Like if you're having a problem with neighborhood cats pooping in your garden or bothering your garden or something like that, they're not there to eat the plants unless you have herbs. They're there because there's something like a mole or a vole or a rat or a mouse or something you don't want in the garden anyway. So basically you're better off, instead of trying to keep those cats out, you're better off to make a little sandbox in a corner somewhere sheltered and they'll just do their business in there. But by hanging out at your place, especially if you plant some herbs for them, they'll end up controlling that whole issue. You won't have gnawed on vegetables anymore. And even the bug population, they'll make a dent in that too. So cats in the garden, I think, is a good thing. I think people are missing out. Okay.
And that would be a happy cat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know what? If you plant catnip, then you're definitely, or cat grass, there's certain things you can make, like a little cat garden. So that will keep your cats kind of more interested in the area you want them in and away from the areas you don't. But it'll also draw neighbors' cats to help with your problem if you've got one. So, okay, I wanted to ask you about declawing, because this is a pet peeve of mine, and you're from GiveThem10.org, and I know you support spay and neuter. What about the declawing? Here, there's some places where a veterinarian will lose his license if he does it. And I think that's stellar. Like, that's the way it should be. What do you think about this?
I know that it's been controversial for more than a decade. I wish the controversy would end. And like you, I wish vets just wouldn't do it. I wish it wouldn't be a thing. I think you can figure it out in your household, how to manage a cat with claws. In the shelter world, obviously, if a declawed cat is surrendered and somebody's looking for a declawed cat, sure, I think that's great. I want cats to go to a forever home and have a good life. But to me, it's not controversial. I think it's a bad idea.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not just a manicure. They're removing knuckles and nails. It's as if you went in and said, I'd like to have all my fingers cut two joints or one joint down, please.
Yep.
And then because of that, forever, it hurts. So a lot of times the cats that they do this to is considered preventative. The cat hasn't even acted out yet. So you don't know. He could have been a great cat. But now he's got pain and he hurts. And as he gets older, it's harder to get in and out of the litter box. And he can't escape toddlers or kids who are too rough with him because he can't run the same way and he can't climb the same way. And he can't escape dogs or some other predator. And so his whole life is more nervous. And it need not be that way. You know, so really, really think about it. There's so many other ways to stop a problem, like an aggressive cat or a destructive cat. And usually destructive cats just need a cat scratch, not a flat one, not a short one, because cats have this amazing spine. It's so cool. This is one of the coolest things about cats. Have you ever noticed, people listening out there, how like when you're on some of these TikToks or whatever, Instagrams, you'll see these cats fitting themselves into tiny cups. Have you noticed that, Deborah?
Yeah.
Or tubes or vases, or they just sort of squish themselves in. And you think, how did that huge cat fit into that tiny space? Well, cats are, they can expand their spine and they can shrink it. They have that ability. So that means when they want to scratch, they want to stretch. And your cat that looks like it's a foot long is actually more like 3.5 feet when it stretches all the way out, maybe even 4. So if you want a cat scratch to be useful, you got to make it 4 feet tall. And it's okay to get a used one as long as you clean it up real good. It'll smell like other cats, which is perfect, no matter how much you clean it. And if it's half destroyed and already started, no problem. Then just spread some catnip on it and away you go. But don't get one of those little cardboard ones or those short ones and then complain that the cat's destroying the couch, which is actually, the couch is in the best spot. It's in a high traffic area. Everybody sees it. It's 4 feet off the ground. It's wonderful to shred. And the cat scratch is a little piece of cardboard in a closet. So you got to think about this, right? So, but there's no reason to declaw a cat. There really isn't in this day and age. Are they still overrepresented in the shelters, the declawed cats like they used
to?
No,
good. As far as I know, they're a vast minority. And I'm not going to say there's not some demand. There are people that'll call the shelter, and I'm glad they do.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You have a declawed cat. Okay, fine. You didn't do it. It was done. I mean, this will probably be an older cat. That's great. Older cats are a little harder to adopt out from a shelter. So I think it's great if that's what you want and you can find a cat that's already been altered that way. But I think it's cruel. We never should have done it. And I just think the time for calling it controversial ought to be over. I know that it's not. We're still calling it controversial. Let's just call it over.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to go to break and come back. And I'm going to ask you about allergies. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. We're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And I know that when people are allergic to a cat, it's not the actual fur. It's usually the saliva or the skin or the dander, the urine, something like that, that gets on the fur or gets in the air, airborne on fur or something like that. Do you allow for people to, when they adopt at the shelters that you're familiar with, is there a way they can allergy test?
Oh, that's a really good question. You mean try the cat out?
I know, it sounds rough, right? To try the cat out. But I've done it with doodles and poodles in the past where someone said, you know, my kid's really allergic and I don't know. And so I won't actually do it with a puppy or a kitten or a rescue animal, but I will do it with one of mine, like to see if they have an allergy. My dogs, they're so used to this kind of stuff. They're like, oh, really? Who am I? Who is this?
No, person? I think it's a great idea.
And I'll get the kid, if they've got a boy especially, I'll get him to take his shirt off and hug the dog and hug the cat. Like, try and really see if there's going to be a reaction, you know, because it's not always instant.
Well, you absolutely can sit with a cat, usually in a private room in a good shelter. But you also, in a good shelter system, they have really robust foster programs. So you could do, like you had asked earlier, what can people do to help cats? Go to your local shelter, see what they need. Maybe they need your time. Maybe they need some food, like you were talking about earlier. Maybe they need some blankets. But mostly they probably need time. But foster, if you could be a foster for a cat, I'm confident that would be very helpful. And what you could do is foster a cat for a period of time. See if you're allergic.
Oh, what a brilliant idea. Yeah. Because then you're not... See, that's the problem with some of this stuff. If it's only one kid and then you get the pet and then, oh, Johnny's allergic. We had to give up Fluffy, you know, and the kids are all upset. And now Johnny feels bad about it and everybody's mad at Johnny and poor cat. We're all attacked. But if you do fostering and the kids know this is not our cat, it's going to some good home. We're just taking care of it. And you find out 2-3 weeks into it, nobody's allergic. Bingo. Right?
Yeah.
And you can say, guess what, everybody? We're keeping Fluffy, you know? And then you're the big hero and Johnny's not in trouble for something he can't control. They did this study and they found that kids who are exposed to dogs and cats in their world when they're under 5 are 80% less likely to have allergies as adults to these animals. So even if you have some kind of reactive kid, you don't, if at all possible, don't make your environment animal free. Because you want your kids to get these kind of immunities and to have their bodies used to these things that will be in their world later on.
People that love animals are better people. I'm sorry, I just have to say that.
Well, there was this guest I had on, Darlene Arden. She's passed since then. And she wrote Small Dogs, Big Hearts. And she wrote all about cats and small dogs particularly. But she used to say, if she sees a person that has no hair on them, not one bit of cat hair or dog hair, she knows that's not a person she needs to talk to.
I love that.
It's really good.
I always have cat hair on me.
Yeah. Well, even with poodles and doodles, it's inevitable, you know, a little bit. Like, because you go to the pet store and you pet somebody else's dog or you're drawn to them in some way. I mean, the people who have no hair on them at all, forget about it. Not interested. We're not interested. So, okay, I'm going to ask you, because you have so much cat experience, you've been around them a lot, and there's still this big kind of question mark over purring. Why? What does it do? Do you see it in your world? Purring, cats purring.
I think it's a sign of happiness, don't you? I think they're showing their contentedness. Yes, I love it. I love a purring cat.
Well, here's the thing, though. They also do it when they're hungry. They do it when they're hunting. They do it when they've made a kill and the thing they've killed is not dead yet. They do it when they're injured, and they do it when one of their, I guess you'd call it family, a cat that's close to them, the cat they love, is injured. They'll hug up to that cat. There's a lot of theories about it. It's got the same, they can adjust the frequency of how their purr is. And at times, it can be between 25 and 150 hertz. So the frequency, that's a unit is equal to 1 cycle per second. So it can be 25 per second. They have therapeutic benefits. And some of these frequencies we're talking about match what we do with ultrasound therapy and ultrasound scanning. So it makes you kind of wonder, if I'm sick and my cat's going to lie on the very part that's not good, my tummy ache, my sore elbow, whatever it is, and the cat keeps trying to get on there. And I'm like, no, that's where I'm hurting. Sit somewhere else. And the cat's like, no, I'm going where you're hurting and you can't stop me. And then I go to sleep and I wake up with the cat exactly on my sore shoulder. Why is it on my sore shoulder? It's not what made my shoulder sore, which, some people might say, well, there's a cat on your shoulder. Get the cat off your shoulder. No, the cat's drawn to that. And then purring, is it trying to help me? I think it is.
They're very intuitive.
I really wish someone could figure it out. It's like the big mystery of cats, I find. They've got these other weird things, like they have a third eyelid and this flexible spine they can make bigger and smaller. But that one, the purr, is it therapy? Is it contentment? A hungry cat purrs, though. So that's kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to your question, but I'm happy to think about it like you are. I wonder. It has to be some kind of adrenaline spurt then. Interesting. What an interesting question.
I keep trying to find the answer to it. I do.
I like it. I'll say that. I love a purring cat.
I have four rescue cats right now, and two of them came to me when they were kittens. So I always wait, when they're little. I keep wondering, are they going to be catnip cats? Are they? I sure hope so. And it turns out all four of mine are catnip cats. And I've only had one cat over the years that wasn't, which makes me think, that's kind of strange, isn't it? Because how about you? Are your cats catnip cats?
All but one. I have one that sneezes when she puts her little face catnip. Yeah. So I can't really have it in the house because she's shown me to do it so many times.
She's allergic.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Because they say 50% of cats don't react at all. They can't get high off catnip. But all my cats except one, all these years. One year in 2000, I helped the authorities rescue over 100 cats. So 100 cats came to live at my property in cages and then went out to get neutered and spayed and came back, got vaccinated. Volunteers were coming and going. And in the end, 96 of them found homes. The four worst, and guess who got those? Me. So I'm talking about a lot of cats, right? Over the years.
Dude, what a great thing you did. That is wonderful.
It was a horrible, that show Hoarders?
Yeah.
It was like that. And there was one dog, two horses, a mom horse and a baby horse. Bad situation for them too. And I think 200 or 300 cats. I just told them I'd take 100. Joking. They're like, how many can you take? I said, I don't know, 100. And they're like, we're going to take you up on that. No, not really.
Cat hoarding situations are terrible.
And that's, if only they'd neutered and spayed. The big one, they called him, he's one of the ones who ended up living here, but I changed his name. I can't remember what they used to call him. He was 21 pounds, the male, right? Who was the father of all these kittens. I mean, it was just awful, awful situation. When you went there, they were just coming out of the walls and the ground and it was like a terrible, terrible situation. And it took so many people. And that's why it's so much easier to spay or neuter your cat than deal with 10 kittens. Like if you think it's tricky, there's got to be places you can go where you can get it cheap, right?
Absolutely. Every community has low cost spay neuter. Yes.
how do they figure it out? Like, if you really don't have the money and you've got this cat that you don't want to have make more cats, how do they figure that out?
There are resources. I mean, honestly, and in every part of the country, there are resources if you go looking for them. Generally, in our area, if you have a cat in a trap, it's going to cost you probably nothing to do a spay neuter. I'm not saying it's that way in every part of the country, but there are resources. Just look for them online.
Yeah. And it's so much. I know people think, well, it's a couple hundred bucks. Yeah, but try dealing with kittens and more kittens and more kittens and more kittens. I mean, it's terrible.
You can go to a low-cost spay neuter center and let's say 0 to 50. And sure,
oh, that's great.
That adds up. I'm not saying if you don't have 10 cats, but generally, if you get to know the shelter and you work with them and you talk to them and they know that you've got cats that need to be fixed, they'll help you. They'll help you figure it out.
You know what else? I remember one of those cats that I told you about in 2000, the 96 that got homed and the 4 that stayed, one of them gave birth here. And it was the first time I'd seen a cat giving birth. And it purred when it was giving birth.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of interesting, too, with our earlier purr conversation. Because, you know, I wouldn't have been, when I was in labor, I would not have been purring. I can tell you that. It's not a time for joy. So I don't know. Maybe they're soothing the kittens or themselves.
Yeah, maybe it is just self-soothing the whole time.
But then you get these cats where they're purring and then you start to pet them and they purr louder and quicker. And then they get like a double purr. Brr, 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 you know, and then they start to salivate. I mean, that's a happy cat, right? It has to be. It has to be.
That's what it means. I think they're happy.
Okay, so how many cats do you have right now?
2.
And is your, just one of them sleep on your head?
No. One of them tries to, but that's not my favorite thing.
I don't like it either.
Yeah, one of them tries to, but I'll say when I first got into the bed, she will get anywhere she can, and then she'll, just to be near me, and then she'll calm down. I mean, she certainly does make me feel loved, no question.
That's the truth. Cats and dogs, they're the only people you can truly trust.
Yep.
So how can people reach you? Because even though we've been talking about other things today, you're really here to represent givethem10.org. And I'm so happy to have you on the show because it's rare for me to get to talk about spay and neuter for a whole show and declawing and all the good things that you're working on and that you're spreading it, right? So if you're living somewhere other than Cincinnati and you would really like to make a difference for the stray cat population or the cats that are being killed in the shelters near you, maybe you drive by and you try not to think about it, or maybe you take your kids for a visit sometimes, or maybe you've even volunteered there and you know that there's cats who are losing their lives, you know, perfectly good cats. There's nothing wrong with them. They're not attacking people. There's no reason for this. Some of them are beautiful and sweet and interesting and adorable and entertaining. And so if you want to make a difference, then you can in your area without having a ton of money, because the money's there, the campaign's there. You just need to tap into it. Is that right?
Check out our website, givethem10.org. Go to our YouTube channels. Get to know our mascot, Scooter, the neutered cat. He's very entertaining. Hip spectacles, no testicles. Entirely entertaining cat.
Okay, so what's your most crazy moment? What was your most, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening moment with Scooter while you're on the road?
When we were filming the commercial, one of our shots was, I can't believe we did this, but a bridge hanging over a dining room. It sounds really dumb. A bridge hanging over a dining room, and we had to train a cat to walk over a swinging bridge. I won't say more except to say there were a lot of really funny outtakes and I wouldn't do it again. But yes, you can train a tabby to walk over a bridge that's swinging over a dining room table.
For sure. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I had, when I was working as a vet tech a long time ago, and I think almost every clinic that I've heard of has had some experience like this. We had a rescue group come in and they weren't holding on to one of their cats and it disappeared into the rafters of the ceiling behind the particle board and we could hear it. We locked all the doors and we spent, I don't know, 35 minutes at least trying to catch that cat.
I can picture it. And they're so good at that. I'm surprised it only took 35 minutes.
It was a small clinic and there were a lot of us, but the clinic ceiling didn't look quite right ever. Like there was this like lump in it from where we got the cat. And lucky for us, none of us got hurt. But that's the thing. I mean, when rescue cats are first adopted, and this is something important, if you do adopt a cat, even if it's, you know, somebody dies or a friend or you go to a shelter, and I commend you for all that, you have to keep in mind that cat was really bonded to somebody else in some other place. Right. And even though I'm so happy you took it, because those people either couldn't keep it or didn't deserve it, one of the two. So good for you for stepping up. But for the first maybe even 6 months, I'd say definitely 6 weeks for sure, don't let that cat out, because it may try to go back to the house its owner no longer lives in, or the last place it remembers or something like that. And you don't want to lose the cat if you're doing the right thing.
That is really good advice.
Microchip and tag, even though, you know, maybe you've heard that this cat never went outside and was a real lazy cat and all that. Things could be different when it thinks it's lost. Even though, no, it's been found, it doesn't know that yet, right? You need a few weeks.
You adopt a cat, you microchip the cat. I agree. Leave the cat in. They have to get used to the smells and the sounds of the new place. Give them time. And they'll be great.
If you are willing to adopt a cat and you're looking for personality, not looks, then I would love it if the next time you went to a shelter, a place where there's cats on display for rehoming, you only look at the black ones or the black and white ones. Do that, because you will find one that's really interesting and got the personality you're looking for, the coat length and all that. But those are the ones that are least likely to get homes. So don't go for the blue-eyed one, the green-eyed one, the one with striking fur, the all-white one. They're going to be okay. But black and the black and white one, it's the same with dogs. If it's got spots or speckles or freckles or blue eyes or something, things that might even be a default. You know, a blue-eyed dog in the wrong breed could be blind or deaf, but people just love it. Oh my gosh, he's got one eye, a different color, just like David Bowie. I want that one. Okay. But what's popular may not be what's best. And the other thing I want to tell people know that cats come from hot climates and cats love the heat, but sometimes people don't realize they can get sunburned. So if you have a cat that's white or got lots of spots or has pink nose maybe, or some very, very short fur, and you're letting it outside in a sunny place, you really need to think about sunscreen and shade and shelter, because they do get problems with that. So, yeah.
Now I've learned something. Thank you.
It's the same with dogs too. They can get sunburn and they can get skin cancer. So we want to be careful about that, which is hard because a lot of sunscreens are made with zinc, which animals can get diarrhea from. Like, you got to be careful what you use. And shade is always the best, you know, best. If it's a heat wave, if you're in a really, really hot place, you got to think about that. When you take your dog to the beach, would he really go out in the middle of the day? Probably not. Would he really go to the beach? No, he'd hang out on the shore where the trees are. That's where he'd be. So you got to kind of think about that. Even though he's happy to play frisbee and fetch and all that, he still needs you to think about the shade, like you would with a little kid. Take the kid swimming. You're going to have to pull that kid out and make sure you reapply the sunscreen or get him to wear a t-shirt or, you know. And it's the same with cats. I mean, I have one cat that just loves to bake. She just walks out to the patio on the hottest of days. They call it a heat bomb. And there she is, sprawled out in the hot, hot sun. And I mean, she's got great fur. She doesn't have a pink nose. I don't have to worry about sunscreen. But sometimes I do, while she's in her big sleep, because she's quite old now. And even a young cat will sleep like 16 hours. I think she's up to like 19 hours. So I'll just move something so there's shade over her, you know? It's pretty easy to do and she doesn't even wake up. But that's the kind of thing you got to think about when it's hot.
That is great advice.
Okay, everybody. Well, I hate to leave them with advice. I'd rather leave them with a laugh. So how about you tell us some of those puns you've got going about Scooter, the neutered cat?
Yes, let's see. So I said you Scooter the neutered cat, hip spectacles, no testicles.
Okay.
And It's what's fun is that I can rhyme. I know almost every word for balls.
Okay.
Circle. Balls. Go check out our beautiful ads and you'll see all the words we came up with for testicles.
All right, then. You know, I was there for a neuter. I've assisted veterinarians do it. And I always thought it was remarkably simple. It was so unintrusive. It was quick. The recovery is simple. It's really one of the easiest procedures you could think of having done, neutering a cat.
For something so valued by the men of the species, it is the simplest procedure. The spay is a lot more difficult to do, I'm told.
Do you know about nudicles?
Nudicles.
Yeah. It's a crazy thing. But dogs who get neutered or maybe have testicular cancer or something that requires they get their testicles taken, sometimes the owner wants them to still look like they have testicles. So they get artificial testicles put in. And so the dog walks around with these balls of steel that are covered in his own skin. To a human, it looks like he's very well endowed and a dog. To a dog, it smells funny. They go flying over there to see, what the heck is that? You know, and it doesn't really make him blend any better than he used to. But it's totally for the human, and it's something humans actually do.
Okay, that is nonsense. Try not to be judgy, but that's nonsense.
I know.
Never
isn't that,
had that in the cat world. Yeah, that's... Wow.
I know. Well, there you go. So I left you with a laugh. Okay, everybody. Thanks for listening to Animal Party today. And I hope you'll go to givethem10.org and check it out and see all their funny puns and their great commercials. And spay or neuter a cat or help us do that. All right, everybody. From me and givethem10.org and Animal Party Pet Life Radio, be good to your animal. Ciao, meow.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.